Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Rates and Lanes with Rico Mohammed. This is the show where we improve your knowledge of the freight market, improve your bottom line, and improve the transportation industry as a whole. We're talking Rates and Lanes. Let's move on down the audio road.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, Rico Mohammed, and this is the Rates and Lanes podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in, taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us tonight. Wanted to let everyone know that we have a special announcement tonight. Kevin Lisa Rutherford has sent out notification to all of the hosts of different podcasts that we all have been awarded one seat to give away to one lucky listener of each of our shows. And so tonight, I wanted to, I don't think time is going to permit. I had something that came up right before we went on air. But we wanted to kind of get a couple of ideas, wanted some feedback on from you guys as to what do you think would be a good way to award this seat. Should we do a trivia question? Should we just have a do it by random caller? Wanted some input from you guys to see what would be the best way to award this one seat to the 2017 CMC Live. Of course, we want for you to be able to attend the CMC Live and be able to fully participate. So if you're not familiar with everything that is going that has ever happened at the CMC Live, I can just tell you. I've been to a couple of CMCs. They are really transformational. It's a transformational week. It's 5 full days packed with nothing but really good, solid information for you to improve your operation and your business. And on top of that, you're going to be around some of the top people in the industry that are there also listening, learning, and participating, and it helps you to be able to build some relationships that will last a lifetime, potentially. You know, you're going to meet people from all different walks of life that are have some of the same struggles and some of the same things that you may be feeling and that you may be going through. They're going to be right there at the CMC. You get a chance to sit down, break bread with them, sit down and learn from all of the different speakers and the different people that are there at the CMC from the different vendors. One of the things that always stood out for me when I went to the CMC was seeing Mike Beckett actually work his magic and aligning trucks up right there in the parking lot with string, duct tape, a pen and a pen and a piece of paper. That was a really eye-opening experience for myself. And so just that, from speakers like Larry Winget to even whether it be Kevin himself. I mean, I know we're all used to listening to Kevin, but being at the CMC is a whole different. It's a very different experience, and I just would like to just share that with you guys. If you've never been to a CMC, it's definitely worth the investment. But hey, what's better than free 99? So we want to come up with some different ideas. We want some input from you guys. You can go over to the Rates and Lanes Facebook page and give us some suggestions. We have to give this seat away. This contest must be completed by July 31st. So if you are the fortunate winner of the seat, we want to be able to make sure and confirm that you will be able to have the week that it's going to take to participate at CMC so that you can get the full experience and value of being able to attend the CMC. So that was one of the special announcements that I had to get out, make sure that I wanted to get out today. We got informed of this last week, and I kind of overlooked it. I wanted to make sure that we got that out to you guys today and that, get you guys thinking about it. We got a little bit of time, but we want to think of some different things. We want to try to get some input from you guys as to how or what would be a good way to award that seat to one of our special listeners. I got a couple of different ideas in mind, but I just want to get some feedback from you guys before I throw it out there. And without any further ado, of course, tonight we don't have any special guest co-hosts, so it's just going to be you and me. If we don't have a bunch of questions, we may wrap it up a little early, but I'm going to go ahead and run through everything that we normally run through from the USDA Fruit and Vegetable Report, the DAT Trend Lines Report, and also the Bad Broker Report. And we still welcome your interaction and your questions and your calls. So if you got a question or if you got something that you would like to participate and say, you can go ahead and press the number one. Lovely daughter Fatina is back fresh off the plane from China, screening phone calls for us tonight. So, yeah, definitely go ahead and if you want to participate, press number one and we'll get to you before we get out of here tonight. With that being said, without any further ado, let's go and begin as we normally always do with this week's USDA report, fruit and vegetable report from the USDA. Areas that are showing shortages, and of course, as we always do, this full report is available for you over on the Rates and Lanes podcast. All you have to do is go over there, click on the picture. There's a picture of the first page of the report up there. You can click on that picture or click on the link, and you will get the full report. The full report is about 5 to 6 pages, has some very detailed information on there. Do not, as I always try to remind you, the rate information that they have on there, take that with a grain of salt. It's a much higher inflated rate than what has really ever been seen from anyone that I know of running any of those lanes. So just take that into consideration, too. Don't think that when you see those rates on there, that's what it's supposed to be paying or should be paying, because those rates are a little bit skewed. But getting right into the report, this week, areas with shortages, outright shortages. And as we always say, this the anomaly, the two places that are first on the list, Central and South Florida, West District Florida, they are showing that those places are showing shortages of trucks. As we always warn, Florida is the exception to the rule. Make sure you got something lined up before you jump up and go running down to Florida and you get stuck down there in a bad area with a ton of trucks in the area and you're not able to get out of there. Or you're having to come out of there for way less than what you anticipated. We don't want that to happen to you. Another area showing shortage of trucks, Charleston, Beaufort District, South Carolina. I can tell you that is probably pretty accurate as far as there being a shortage. I'm running over to Charleston on a regular basis now doing some of the stuff that I do. And on the way out, there's always plenty of freight to be had coming out of Charleston right now. Areas that are showing slight shortages, southern New Mexico showing a slight shortage of trucks. Moving on through the report, areas that you may want to avoid or make sure that you take a little bit of extra money in when you're going booking loads into these areas, those are Columbia Basin, Washington, Yakima Valley, and Wenche District, Washington. Both of those areas are showing slight surpluses of trucks. Areas where you want to make sure that you may want to avoid, or better yet, make sure you get a really great rate to go in there, because you're probably going to have to walk the plank coming out of there if you're working spot market rates. San Luis Valley, Colorado, they are showing an outright surplus of trucks in that area. Moving right along, jumping from the USDA Trend Lines report over to this week's DAT Trend Lines report. For the week of June 11th through the 17th, load board activity subsided from the previous week, in which the national load-to-truck ratio for all equipment types hit its highest mark in years. Despite the dip in the load-to-truck ratio, rates did not fall. National average rates held steady for vans and reefers. while rates for flatbeds increased by 1 cent per mile. Rates for all equipment types remained at their highest level in nearly 2 years, which is always welcoming information for us here on this side of the equation, especially if you're working primarily in the spot market or if you are trying to work the spot market sporadically. We want to make sure that we keep those rates up. Jumping into the dry van segment of the national van and the national van demand and capacity portion of this report, the load-to-truck ratio for vans receded after surging the previous week due to the annual road check that tightened capacity. Nationally, load posts declined by 1%, increased by 9%. That caused the load-to-truck ratio to fall 9%, down to 5.2 loads per truck. The national average van rate was unchanged compared to the previous week. Taking a look back historically, at the same time last year, van load posts jumped up 22% in May compared to April. Truck posts also rose 13%, contributing to 8% increase in the national load-to-truck ratio. At 3.7 van loads per truck, the ratio was up by 109% from where it was at the same exact time last year, May of 2016. The national average load to trucks for dry vans for this week is sitting at 5.2 loads per truck. And the national average fuel price for diesel is down by 1.2%. A national average of $2.49 for diesel. So with rates surging, diesel prices dropping, that's always a really good indicator for us on this side of the equation. Let's jump over and take a look and see how the rates were performing over the previous week. For dry vans, the national average van rate was unchanged last week, holding steady at a national average of $1.79 per mile. Rates increased in several major markets, including Atlanta, Houston, and Los Angeles. Taking a look and a breakdown of the spot market around the country, breaking it down by region. Starting out in the northeastern portion of the United States, we have Philadelphia, Pennsylvania checking in, showing average spot market rates for dry vans at $1.68 per mile. Moving down into the southeast portion of the United States, we have Atlanta, Georgia checking in, showing average spot market rates at $2.19 per mile. Jumping up into the Midwest, Chicago, Illinois, showing a strong $2.03 per mile coming out of the Midwest of Chicago, Illinois. Moving down into the south central portion of the United States, Dallas, Texas being the representative city, showing average spot market rates at $1.76 per mile. And moving out west to Los Angeles, California, leading the charge, leading the pack, leading the nation, average spot market rates coming out of L.A. at $2.30 per mile. Very robust market coming out of the West Coast right now for dry vans. Moving back, taking a look at historical data for van rates. The national average van rates increased 2 cents in May compared to April. At $1.69 per mile, the national average rate was 15 cents higher than it was in May of 2016. So let's go on and jump over into the U.S. flatbed demand and capacity portion of the trend lines report. The flatbed load-to-truck ratio declined a bit after hitting its highest level in years. In the previous week, flatbed load posts held steady, while truck posts increased 11%. That caused the load-to-truck ratio to dip by 10% to 44.5 loads per truck. The national average flatbed rate was unchanged compared to the previous week. Taking a look back historically, compared to April, flatbed load posts dropped 3% in May, while truck posts rose 16%. That pushed the load-to-truck ratio down by 16% to 36.6 loads per truck nationally compared to May of 2016. The ratio, the load-to-truck ratio has soared 117%. The national average for flatbeds as of this week is sitting right around 44.5 loads per truck. Let's take a look at how those flatbed rates were performing on the spot market over the previous week. Spot market flatbed rates increased 1 cent to $2.16 per mile on average, the highest weekly national average in nearly 2 years. Historically, looking at flatbed rates increased 3 cents in May compared to April. The national average of $2.10 per mile was 18 cents higher than it was in May of 2016. Breaking this report down and looking at each region for flatbeds, we have Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the representative city out of the Northeast, leading the nation at $3.41 per mile on average for flatbeds. Moving down into the Southeast, we have Atlanta, Georgia kicking in, showing $2.61 per mile on average for flatbeds. Moving up into the Midwest, Rock Island, Illinois, $2.56 per mile on average coming out of Rock Island, Illinois. Moving down into the south central portion of the United States, we have Houston, Texas checking in, showing average spot market rates of $2.45 for flatbeds. And coming out of the West Coast, Phoenix, Arizona being the representative city, pulling up the rear, we have flatbed showing an average spot market rate of $1.76 per mile. Moving on, jumping over into the reefer demand and capacity report for the week of June 11th through the 17th. Reefer demand subsided a bit compared to the previous week, in which capacity was tight due to annual road check inspection blitz. Reefer load post declined 2%, while truck post increased by 8%. That caused the load-to-truck ratio to fall by 10%, down to 9.1 loads per truck. The national average spot market rate for reefers was unchanged week over week. Let's take a look back historically. Reefer load post in May were 21% higher than in April, and truck post increased 17%. That led to a 4% rise in the load-to-truck ratio from 6.6 up to 6.8 loads per truck nationally. Compared to May of 2016, the load-to-truck ratio was up by 98%. As of right now, the national average for reefers is sitting at 9.2 loads per truck. And let's look and check to see how the U.S. reefer rates performed over the week of June 11th through the 17th. Even though capacity loosened following the road check week, national reefer rates held steady at $2.11 per mile, the highest average in nearly 2 years. Rates moved higher in Los Angeles and Atlanta, but prices fell by double digits in Miami and Grand Rapids. Once again, similar to last week's report, it kind of verifies the information that came from the USDA report. That's one reason why these two reports are kind of, you know, if you're working the spot market or if you just want to try to keep up of what is going on in the market, these two reports are one of the staples that I kind of lean on when I'm trying to look at different things as far as rates and load-to-truck ratios. It kind of gives you a pretty decent snapshot. And if you watch some of the things that we talk about on the reports, they kind of mirror one another. And you can go back and look at the more in-depth information on both of these reports, but especially on the USDA report, to if you happen to be a reefer hauler such as I am, you know, you want to kind of, if you're following the freight it gives you a great indication of where you need to be and where you need to position yourself. With that being said, let's jump back into the report. Historical ramifications: spot market reefer rates increased 8 cents in May compared to April at $2.02 per mile. The May average rate was 13 cents higher than it was 1 year ago the same time. So let's take a look and see how the reefer rates performed by region. Coming out of the northeastern portion of the United States, Elizabeth, New Jersey, checking in, showing $1.63 per mile on average. Dropping down into the southeastern portion of the United States, Lakeland, Florida, checking in, showing average reefer rates on the spot market at $1.87 per mile. Moving up into the Midwest, Green Bay, Wisconsin, leading the charge nationally, as it normally always does. Average spot market rates for reefers coming out of Green Bay showing $2.66 per mile on average. Moving down into the lower Rio Grande, the south central portion of the United States, McAllen, Texas, checking in, showing a strong reefer market, an average of $2.11 per mile. And jumping over to the West Coast, nipping on the heels of Green Bay, Fresno, California, showing an average spot market rate of $2.38 per mile. And that, ladies and gentlemen, will wrap up this week's DAT Trend Lines report. And let's see if I can get over here and get us going on the bad broker report for this week. If my computer will cooperate with us, we'll get that pulled right in. And there we go. So, this week, not as many entries have made it onto the list, but we still have a few new ones all the same. This week, debuting on the list is EMR Logistics, Inc. EMR Logistics, Inc. Their MC number is 847-359. FMCSA shows that the trust fund has canceled. They have over $19,000 in active non-payment complaints have been reported against EMR Logistics, Inc. C&J Logistics, Inc. MC number is 420-657. FMCSA shows surety bond scheduled for cancellation on 6/29/17. Over $177,000 in non-payment complaints have been reported. They are considered an extreme risk. And that, ladies and gentlemen, will actually, we only had two new entries to the bad broker report. That pretty much wraps that up. So, see, we got someone with their hand raised. We're going to go and grab Sean really quickly. Sean, you're up and on board with Rico. How can I help?
Wondering about the Panamax ships on Charleston and Savannah. Are they coming into port yet?
You know what? That's a great question, and I will find out for you. I'm not sure. I'll be in Charleston. I go over to that port at least three times a week here now, and I'll ask the people over there and get some information on that to find out if those ships are coming in as of yet right now. I know they have they're expecting a lot of activity from that, but I'm not 100% certain if that stuff is hitting yet or not, Sean.
Okay, because, yeah, that's going to take a lot of surplus or excess from the West Coast ports, and it'll keep you guys very, very busy in the Southeast. Also, watching the oil markets, as an investor, I'm very, very scared. I'm not touching that sector whatsoever. The floor was at 45. It's gone through the floor. I don't know where the bottom is at this point. This is really, really good for trucking. If you're looking for a fuel surcharge, that should be going away, but your cost of fuel should be coming down very, very well.
Right. Yeah, we talked about that a little earlier as well. Diesel prices are dropping. Rates are going up. That's always sometimes we like it when the fuel surcharge is a little higher. We can get a little bit better, make a little bit better profit margin with that. But if you're running a good operation, shouldn't be a problem there. Actually, should be a good thing.
Yeah,
Anything else you want to share with us?
No, I just don't know where the floor is right now. It's going to go to $40 a barrel, and I'm not sure if it's going to hold 40.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't dabble too much into that the whole speculation portion of that market. I know that's kind of a tricky bag. That's probably above my pay grade. But we definitely, if that's something that you do, we definitely appreciate you coming in here and informing us about it.
Yeah, it's a sector I'm not touching. I've got other sectors I like a lot better. It's just very, very scary. The trading on it. There's so much out there right now. They've got to get the rig count down. There's going to be some consolidation. And maybe once they get the rig counts down, there's just too much oil on the market right now. And that's good for us.
Sean, I got a quick question for you. You was talking about really trying to tie something in and connect some dots. Henry Seaton asked me to kind of poll you guys as well. I don't know if you got a chance to see earlier, actually I think it was over the weekend, USA Today did an article about trucking, about the situation out there at the ports in L.A. They were talking about the trucking conditions and everything and how really how bad they really were painting it as some of the conditions that the guys go through out there. Did you get a chance to read that article by any chance? And if you did, do you have an opinion on it one way or the other?
Yes, I did read it, and here's the problem. These guys had older trucks that were paid for. The business model was working. California and the companies forced them to trade their trucks in and go into a lease purchase on the new trucks because they did not have the finances, and the companies financed them under a lease purchase. At a $150,000 truck, the business model is a failure. At a $30,000 truck that's already paid for, that's got no payments on it, it's an absolute success.
Right, right. And they were attacking the owner-operator model as well. From some of the stuff that I got a chance to read, I didn't get a chance to really dig all the way into the article, but they would, from one point, it just really sounded to me as well like people really, one thing that we try to advocate here is read the contracts. Read what it is that you're getting yourself into. And it seems like a lot of those guys didn't really understand what it was that they were signing themselves up for.
Here's the problem. They didn't speak English. They were not allowed to take the contract to their lawyers. They had to sign it on the spot. They had no choice in the matter.
Okay, Sean. Well, I definitely appreciate the phone call. Definitely appreciate the input as well. Anything else you want to say before we get out of here? Any ideas about the contest for the CMC?
Oh, not really. No, it sounds like a great idea. Great for Kevin to do. Yeah, it's the same tactics that the Truckload Carriers Association companies use. They get you under a lease contract where you cannot take the contract to your lawyer.
Yeah, I think that some of that stuff that if you got a situation like that, if the people are, you got to kind of, your antennas got to go up, and you got to understand what is it that they're trying to hide. If that's the case, and you just got to kind of be a little bit smarter. But unfortunately, in this business, you got to look out for your own. You got to cover your own backside. And you got to make sure that you are looking out for your best interest, because everybody else is looking out for their own best interest. And unfortunately, you know, we don't have people sophisticated enough to kind of listen to that advice and actually heed that advice. We just kind of we're buying ourselves a job, and we continue to, and we wonder why some of the things are never haven't changed for the better for the industry, because we've got too many people that are still supporting old antiquated ways of doing business.
Yeah, and here was the problem. You don't sign the contract, you don't have a job.
Yeah, that really doesn't work for me. Well, we appreciate it, Sean. We're
going
to grab another caller here, and we definitely appreciate the report. We look forward to hearing from you again on that oil report. I appreciate that.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Put him on hold, and let's go and grab Steve really quickly. Steve, you're up and on board with Rico. How can we help?
Hey, Rico, man, it's so good to talk with you. I got a ton of questions I need to ask you, but I think what I'll do is just kind of narrow it down to kind of give you a little background of what's going on with me. Within the past few weeks, recently just went online and filed for my authority. And I went in and did it myself, you know, taking all the steps that Kenny Long talks about on how to file your authority and everything. And
right.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And my goal and my motto is to, you know, in the process of going into this, even before I started going into this, was to go into it debt-free, which meaning that my truck and purchase of my trailer is 100% paid for. And because I didn't want a huge overhead going into it, because I knew the startup thing was going to be, you know, sort of costly or whatever like that. And so that's, you know, that's the reason why I decided to go with that plan and that model. With that being said, I got my DOT number, and I also got my, my MC number and all that good stuff. And I heard you say at one time that you spend $600 on load boards. Is that just one load board?
Not anymore.
Or is that
not anymore? Not anymore. No, those were the good old days, I guess. I did some shopping around, and when I started comparing different things. And I guess from different relationships that I was able to build and everything, I moved away from that. At that time, that was the top tier low board that DAT had to offer. Not knocking DAT, but I moved over to Internet Truck Stop. Actually, I moved over to their product, and. And I didn't, with the relationships and stuff that I already kind of had built up, I still got the top board that Internet Truck Stop offers, but it does not. Now, some of the things, the product is a little bit differently, so it's not really a fair apples to apples comparison. The stuff that I had access to with DAT was a very robust system. And it gave you the ability to do a lot of different things. Some of the stuff was for my operation, I didn't necessarily need, but I wanted to have, at the time when I was doing that, I wanted to have a tool to kind of help level the playing field when I'm dealing on the spot market with brokers and everything. And that's why I was, you know, that's why I was using that board in particular. But the product that, in my opinion, my humble opinion, and I'm not being paid, I'm not getting paid or have any endorsement deals with either one of the companies. Just giving you from my experience, Internet Truck Stops, their board is a really good board once you learn the quirks of the system, and it's comparable to the VAT's board. I did notice that DAT would get back. It's DAT seems to have been a little bit quicker on having loads on certain loads or whatever, but I haven't experienced enough of a drop off to justify going back to the DAT load board for my operation. So hopefully that helped you. I know that might have been as clear as mud, but hopefully that helped you out a little bit. If you got more questions about it, I'll try and break it down a little bit further for you if you got any more questions pertaining to that. But I've noticed that you were here in Georgia. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
One thing that you may want to look into, they are here in Georgia. They have a neat little program that they're getting ready to roll out a consortium. And this is just not only this is not for just minorities, but this is also for veterans, females. But the National Minority Truckers Association, they have some stuff that they're getting ready to roll out. You might want to look them up online. National Minority Truckers Association. They have a consortium that they have built. And it's going to give, once they get everything completed and all the I's dotted and the T's crossed, it's going to give the ability for some of the things that we talked about here, that we've talked about on this show before, back in the early days, they have actually got the blueprint for that put together, and it's getting ready to roll that baby out before we talked about having a trying to put together some type of a national conglomerate or something to where we can kind of go in and bid on freight or whatever. But they have something that they're actually working on. I advise you, go check those guys out. Maybe get involved with them while it's still early. But they have some. Secured some pretty decent stuff that from major suppliers being able to pool different trucking companies to be able to go in and compete on contracts. If I were you, I'd definitely get in contact with those guys and get signed up with them because you have to be a member in order to participate in the consortium, of course. But it's gonna definitely have some payoff for you.
Okay, I'm definitely glad you mentioned that to me. I'm going to look into that. I really am, and I do appreciate that.
Yeah, National Minority Truckers Association. You can go look them up. They're based out of Atlanta as well, you can look them up. And they got some really really neat stuff coming down the pike. Definitely go check them out.
Didn't they have some kind of conference about a month and a half ago or something like that?
They did. They had a I had a chance to go. They had a they call it a top expo, and it was absolutely free of charge. And one of the I haven't been to a lot of shows, but for a free show, some very 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 informative information. They had speakers coming in from. Georgia Minority. I'm trying to remember the acronym. It's the Georgia Minority Supplier Diversity. They had those guys come in. They had a representative from UPS. When I say a representative, they had the actual procurement representative from UPS there giving a talk on how to get in with UPS. What the steps that you need to take?
Wow!
I mean, basically breaking it down, every little thing that you needed to do in order to participate and get contracts with some of the major companies. They had people from those companies literally selling the secret sauce. And that conference for a free, mind you, free admission. But it was open to the public, and it was very, very good information being given out at that conference. Very good information.
Okay.
That's why I always try to tell, you know, if you have an opportunity to go and attend any conference, you never know what might be happening, what you might be able to get from it.
Exactly.
But that was open to the public, and it was very, very, very good information being given. That stuff from UPS, that was like literal gold. And she was there. She gave out a card. She was there shaking hands, talking to people. So, you know, it gives you an opportunity to meet with people, potential clients and potential customers that you can meet with and to try to help grow your operation. And like I said, that consortium is a major key if you get involved with that to kind of get your foothold, you know, get on that ground floor once they start rolling out the different opportunities that are going to come with that. And they got some major backing with that consortium. It was kind of exciting. They got a lot of major former athletes from the National Football Association, the National Football League, are actually participating with that, and they are, you know, they are in business and helping backing up a lot of the stuff, because now that they're retired football players, they, mm-hmm. you know, they are looking at other avenues and investments, and they are helping get some momentum behind that thing. Definitely check them out. I think I'm excited about some different things, that opportunities that may be coming down from that. And that's, like I said, that's just not just for minorities, but it's also for veterans. You are a veteran,
mm-hmm.
or you are a woman, female. All of that stuff, it kind of gets you in that minority distinction, but definitely go check that out.
I sure will. I sure will, and I appreciate the information on that. I knew it was mentioned to me after the conference was over with, and I'm glad you brought that back up, because I will be digging into that. Now, another question that I had with the low board is that. Right now, I'm currently leased to Landstar as of right now. And I was wondering, since I got my authority file with the FMCSA, could I subscribe to a low board without it not being active, or does the authority have to be active to have a low board?
I believe that, if I remember correctly, that they are going to want you to be active, but I think that I'm wanting to say that you could do it with Landstar. I think they had I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure. But I would call and ask. You know, it never hurts to call and ask and find out. You can go on their website and you can get their contact information. The answer to an unasked question is always no. So definitely call
right.
and ask and maybe see if there may be a way to do that. But yeah, definitely do that.
Okay. All right. I do appreciate that. What it is, I know I've been with Landstar a little bit over 2 years, and when I first got here, I worked a low board about 3 months, and it goes back to what you guys were talking about, building that relationship, and then through building that relationship, I was able to land a great dedicated account with an agent. And, you know, and I had to break away from all of that, because this is, you know, owning my own truck is one of the goals that I had planned for years and that I had wrote down for years. And I hear a lot of people tell me, well, you're doing good with what you're doing. It's stupid for you to quit what you're doing to go and just put your name on the side of the door. But then at the same time, I do understand that if I stay at what I'm doing here, I won't fulfill the dreams and the destiny and the goals that is set before me. And I know that, from that, I have to leave, sort of like leave the nest and go out and kill it and drag it home for myself. You understand what I'm saying? And so,
absolutely.
And
seeds never made skillful sellers.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so therefore, and that's the reason why, reason why I'm going into this, you know, and I have worked behind the desk, you know, and dispatching trucks and you know, and operating this and every and all of that, and it's like once you get that taste in your mouth, there's something that you want to, you know, that I wanted to get back into, you know. Of course, in the beginning, I know I will start out with low boards, but I want to develop that relationship with shippers and receivers and work directly with them, you know, in the process. But as of right now, you know, I'm doing my due diligence to understand try to understand everything and comprehend on a lot of stuff that, you know, that done left my memory. And do my homework up front before I just jump into it, because I think that's where a lot of people mess up is that they don't do their homework. They just jump into it thinking everything is going to flow smoothly. But at the end of the day, my uncle always told me that when things happen, it's supposed to happen. But it's how you deal with the things that's happening around you. It will make you a successful or it won't make you successful. And so in the process of me doing all of my homework and doing everything I need to do on the forefront, I know what to expect once I get into it. And that's why I'm asking all these questions and, you know, and trying to not trying, but understanding what's going on before I get into this process. So, Rico, I appreciate the information. That's why I say all the time, I appreciate the information you guys put out for us. And, I will be calling you from time to time. I would love to meet with you and sit down and have a dinner or meal together at some point at your convenience. But I would love to do that, because you more of an inspiration to me, and I appreciate everything that you're doing, and explaining and putting yourself out there. But man, I'm going to keep you updated and let you know how it works and how it works out and everything, and we'll go from there. And again, I do appreciate the phone call. I really do.
Thank you, and I appreciate the kind words there, Steve. You can hit me up, shoot me a message, a private inbox message on Facebook or something. We might be able to make that happen. If you're right here in my area, we might be able to sit down and break bread somewhere. So definitely, yeah.
Okay.
Hit me up on Facebook, and we'll see if we can put that together.
All right. Thank you so much, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And let's see. We got Sam here. Sam, you're going to be the last caller of the evening. You're up and on board live with us. How can we help?
Okay. Thank you. I just had a question. I've had a problem with Calm Data. I had to get rid of it. I switched over to T-Check, which I think is EFS now. In the beginning, there was going to be no fee, and then they got bought out by Wells Fargo and somebody else, and now they've got to where if you don't use your account, there's no charge. If you write one check, it's $50 plus a check charge, but then you're good for the month. You got to pay a check charge, but not the $50. Who else can you work with out here that's got it? That's knowing enough for lumper services and those type of things.
Well, that's a great question, and one of the benefits and the perks that that I've had is dealing with the tout another association, NASTIC, the National Association of Small Trucking Companies, out of Gallatin,
yeah.
Tennessee. NASTIC, if you get with them and get on their fuel program, which is through Fleet One, you can get a Fleet One account, and they have Fleet One Plus checks, and it's included. You get a discount, of course, by buying your fuel through the network or the Fleet One network. But another perk to that is that you can ask for, after you've gotten a while, or you can just go ahead and ask them for an increased credit limit. And you can use your Fleet One account, the plus checks, to pay your lumper fees. If you got lumper fees or repair bills or whatever else, you can use that Fleet One check to finance that, and then you pay. Of course, they debit your account once. Or at least that's how mine works. They debit my account, my banking account, once a week Whatever I spend during that week, it's all paid off at the end of the week. And you can, you will nowhere near be spending that amount of money for, I don't have any kind of charges like that. No $50 for the use of, no, sir. But that's one of the perks of dealing with NASTIC, National Association of Small Trucking Companies.
Yeah, like I said, that's why I switched from Calm Data over, because Calm Data raised theirs and was charging, you know, and I didn't use it that often. And when I went over to EFS, T-Check, which I think is EFS now, like I said, it was supposed to be no fees. That's what we went in at, no fees, prepaid account, you know, just $5 check charge or whatever. But like I said, they got bought out, and it's no fee. But if you use it one time that month, you got a one-month fee of $50 plus your check charge. And that's what I'm trying to get away from. I mean, it's a prepaid account to start with.
Wow.
And,
wow.
If it wasn't just carry the damn cash and pay the lumpers, that'd be fine. But when you got an odd number, or nobody has change, of course, and then you have that issue.
Well, and not only that, you've got more and more of these places going to, they don't accept cash. They only will accept a fleet check. So you run into that conundrum as well. So, but yeah, the fleet one check, if I remember correctly, when you do a fleet one, the charge for the check is very minimal. I think it's like a dollar or something like that. But it's very minimal, and it doesn't hurt you as bad. Now, whenever I can, I try to negotiate if I'm dealing with a broker or somebody, I try to negotiate, you know, for them to go ahead and pay for that lumper, whatever it is that they use, if it's a fleet one or EF or whatever. And the other cool thing about that is that if you, with a fleet one account, if you got that negotiated out, you can call Fleet One and authorize another third parties and get it added to your account, and you can write it out of your Fleet One account if you want to do it that way. If you don't happen to have that particular check, I know sometimes you may get caught out there and you don't have the different checks from all the different agencies that are out there doing it. But you got an express code, and you try to ask other drivers for if they got a check or whatever. But if you don't have to do all that, you can just call Fleet One. They'll authorize that. They'll authorize that express code or whatever from whatever entity that it is, and add that balance to your account, and then you can just write it out of your Fleet One account, so you can go ahead and pay for your services and keep it moving.
Yeah, I just didn't know how knowing like the Fleet One was over. I know the T-Check and Calm Data, they, you know, they've been the pioneers out here forever.
Fleet One's pretty readily available. If you go to just about anywhere that accepts the third party trucking checks, they're pretty familiar with Fleet One. They're pretty credible. So I've never had any issue using the Fleet One, and that's the only thing that I've ever used out here, other than when the broker is paying for the fee with whoever the third party company that they use.
Yeah, when I did check with that NASTIC there one time, because I was incorporated, you had to go to wherever it was, Tennessee or whatever, for a couple of days, a conference or whatever down there.
That kind of leaves a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth. Some people complain about having to go to that conference or whatever, and I definitely understand that. I just look at it as a necessary evil. I definitely like all the benefits that I have by being a NASTIC member. Maybe taking a day and a half out of your schedule. They're gonna get you in there, and of course they're in the business of trying to turn the profit. They're gonna sell some of their other, value added services, that what they may call it, to you. They're gonna try to pitch those things to you and get you in there and you know, and just show off their wares. But, you know, you go in there and get what you need to kind of be able to build out your operation and make yourself a little bit more self-sufficient.
Yeah, and what I've seen as far as the fuel costs and fuel savings, and seem like most of the places that they get their discounts, really, if I use my American Express and buy other places, my fuel seems to be cheaper, and not counting the benefits of the points you gain on the card. That was my thing with these big fuel purchasing programs. They want you to go to, you know, Petro, Pilot, Flying J, all them, and they were always 20 cents higher than where I buy anyhow.
Well, yeah, they may be 20 cents higher, but when you get through with that nasty discount, I'm telling you, it's one of the hardest ones to beat. I haven't seen too many people beat that discount, even though the fuel may be a little higher. But you're paying. You're not really going off of that price. The NASDAQ program is set up on a cost plus. It's cost plus 3 cents. So whatever the truck stop is paying for the fuel, you get it at that cost. Add 3 cents to it.
Gotcha.
So it's a pretty significant discount. And I you'd be hard pressed to find one that will offer the same. I've had people from Love's contact me, and they're pretty familiar with, you know, most of these companies are pretty familiar with who the competition is, and when I told the guy what I was using, he already knew that, you know, he really didn't have anything to compare with it, other than saying, well, Love's is not in the NASDAQ network, and you know, well, if you wanted the fuel at Love's, you could get a discount at Love's if you came on board with us. But you know, that's why we plan what we're doing, and we try to plan accordingly, and not to get caught out there where we have to get fuel at places that are out of the network.
yeah, but they're out of what, Nashville? Is that where the NASDAQ's out of?
Yes, sir. They're right out of Nashville, up there in Gallatin, Tennessee.
Okay. Well, that was my complaint, and I just didn't know what a better alternative was.
You may be able to contact Fleet One on your own if you absolutely don't want to deal with NASDAQ. You may be able to contact them on your own. I'm not sure exactly how. You know, what their requirements are, but I just know that being a NASDAQ member, it just made everything a whole lot smoother, a heck of a lot smoother, and everything just kind of rolled in there.
The NASDAQ, I imagine they have a drug consortium program also.
Absolutely, that's another thing. That's one of the things that you can do if you go to the class. If you go to the thing, that was one benefit that I actually liked. The drug consortium program that they have, take your wife with you. They'll train you and your wife on how to do your drug testing and everything. And your wife, you couldn't drug test yourself, but if your wife or somebody that you had with you is a member of your company and they get trained, they get certified, then that person can drug test you, and you don't have to go down to the clinic or whatever. You can do your drug testing yourself, because you'll be certified and trained through them and using their doctor to certify everything. But that's one of the portions that the trainings that they have at that class.
Yeah, because I used to have more trucks than I have now, and I've dwindled down to just a couple. And so it's kind of just fading things down a little bit because of this electronic logs, if they come into play. I just think that's going to make it extremely difficult for what I do. And
it's going to be an adjustment period for sure.
In most cases, how are you going to keep a driver happy in that situation, especially if you're not a drop and hook? You're nobody that has preloaded trailers or unloading their trailers for them. I just don't see how you're possibly going to be able to continue doing it the way we're doing it.
Yeah, we're going to get a little creative with it, I believe.
You better be a heck of a lot creative.
Going to have to get creative with pay and everything.
I'm telling you, it's that's why I just kind of just dwindle things down a little bit more and just see. That's like when my last truck had a motor problem. I said, you know what? I'm not even fixing a damn thing. I went and bought a 98. I'm not dealing with that. If there's any rate benefits because of this electronic logs, well, good. Maybe I'll have the best of both worlds: some better rate and some paper.
I believe that it's going to. I wholeheartedly believe it's going to have to. We're going to have to see some increase in rates, but it's of course they're going to go kicking and screaming. So we just got to kind of hold the road until we get until we can kind of force the issue.
It's my personal opinion on this part. Like I say, it's going to be tough. I mean, my personal opinion on it, I truly believe they are going to see more accidents than they ever dreamed of. I guarantee it.
Yes, Sam, I hope you're wrong. I understand where you're coming from. I hope you're wrong.
I'm not.
But,
I guarantee
but yeah.
you I'm not wrong.
There's
too many of us old goats that, you're going to get ready for it. I watch out through the Midwest where I'm running out to Illinois and those places. I don't know what it is about out there, but I see more trucks that have went down through the middle, down through the median, off the side of the road, and everywhere. And almost, I guarantee you, over 75% of them I know have electronic logs in them.
Hmm.
It's definitely
the hours of service is what needs to be adjusted. They took away the flexibility from the drivers to be able to make a judgment call when he's safe and when he's not safe. And I definitely agree with that. Unfortunately, this is the way that this is the way they want it run, and this is what we have to deal with. Unfortunately, we have to kind of, we're going to have to make adjustments to make it fit. And the shipping community is also going to have to start making some adjustments because now that if this is the way that it's going to be ran, the trucking industry can no longer be the magic eraser of transportation. And that's what the trucking industry has been for years and years. It has been the magic eraser. Everybody else can, they can take all day to either load or unload your truck, and then you got to go and try and get your other load on and run all during the night or whatever to try to make these deadlines, these unrealistic deadlines. But if we're going to run everything straight laces and by the book, then, that magic eraser is now gone. And so it's definitely going to have an effect on everything across the board. And, in my opinion, race doesn't have no other choice but to follow and have some increase in the race because we can't keep on doing the same thing that we've been doing with these same exact results.
The same thing. How, where I pre-book freight for the guys that was hauling, have it booked ahead. Well, how are you going to be able to do that? I mean, when the broker starts calling, what time's your truck going to be over for the pickup? Well, he should be delivering at 10:30, and I'm hoping he'll be out there by 12, and should be over there by 2. Nobody wants to hear should be, could be, maybe be. You know?
Absolutely.
I'm gonna
give you an amen, brother. You're preaching to the choir, but unfortunately, that's kind of the role that we've been given to hold.
Yeah, that's right. We can't book the freight ahead. We can't. It's just going to be. That's why I've just downsized to this point now, and just see. But like I said, that's the problems I see coming down the pike.
Absolutely.
Well, hey,
Steve,
I know how's your last call, so I appreciate your time.
We appreciate
and,
it. Yeah.
Yeah, I try to listen to
Thank
you when
you.
I can on here. So. All right. Well, you have a good evening.
Thank you for the support. Yes, sir. We appreciate it. Well, he was supposed to be in the last call, but in the spirit of we try not to leave anybody behind, we'll take a few more minutes real quickly. We don't have your screen in. Caller from the 208. Do you have a question?
2017 would be the last year for the full Ironman race in the Lake City. The Coeur d'Alene City Council made the decision.
Hello, caller from the 208. Area code 208.
Coeur d'Alene until 2020.
All right. We'll put them back on hold. Well, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you guys for tuning in tonight. God bless you. Good night. Once again, make sure to go over to the Racing Lanes Facebook page. Give us some suggestions on what to do for the contest, the giveaway for the one seat at the 2017 CMC. We'd like some feedback from you guys. And with that being said, we want to thank everybody that helped make this show possible. Thank you, my daughter Fatina, back there screening the phone calls in for us. Thank you to the entire Less Truck team. Kevin and Lisa Rutherford have given us the platform to bring this show to you, and for especially you guys for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen and support the show. We'll talk to you the same time next week. God bless you. Good night. And like we always say, keep it in between the mustard and the mayonnaise. We'll talk to you next week, guys. Have a good one.